So like I told you last week, God's been working on me about freedom from bondage and how that I believe that God is building this congregation up and myself up and you up to be able to impact this world that we live in, Choctaw of Oklahoma, more than we've ever impacted it before in our lives. But church, in order to be able to do that, we have to be able to walk free from bondage. And like I told you a couple weeks ago, as a Christian, I've spent most of my Christian life walking in bondage. And it wasn't until recently that God began to reveal to me that, John, listen, you no longer have to live in the bondage that you're walking in, but you can walk in freedom. And by walking in freedom, I don't care about what you did yesterday. I don't care about what you did a week ago. I don't care about what you did a year ago, John. I've forgotten those things. I nailed it to the cross. Do not pick it back up again. And you walk in freedom. And you lead others into freedom. So church, today we're going to talk about generational curses. I don't know about you, but I grew up, and this was a very common term that I would hear on occasion, and I don't even know exactly where I got it from, but there's been this phrase that I've used most of my adult life, and one of them is the sins of a father are passed on from generation to generation. Anybody else in here heard that phrase? I don't even know where it comes from because I thought it was Scripture, but when I got to digging in Scripture, I couldn't find it in Scripture. So I began to do some studying, and so today's message is over that, generational curses. And let me tell you something. This sermon did not turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. See, when I began to prepare this sermon, I had preconceived ideas on the direction I was going to go with this, but the more I began to read, and the more I begin to study, God molded this, again, my sermon to His Word, my sermon to His Word. So church, curse, let's talk about curse. What does curse mean? In Webster's Dictionary, it means this. It says a prayer or invocation for harm or injury to come upon one. A prayer for harm or injury. I intentionally skipped that second word because I can't pronunciate it properly. So, a prayer for harm or injury to come upon one. Church, first and foremost, let me tell you this before we ever get started. God does not cause curses to come upon you. Completely and totally against His character. But as I begin to study about this, God give me this. It says, we often associate our bad habits and our sins to the credit of our parents due to generational curses. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life, and I know that some of you do this as well, that whenever I've done things in my life, or maybe I treated somebody a certain way, I said, you know what? I'm a product of my environment. Sorry, it's the way I was raised. I didn't want to be like that, but here I am. Generational curses. However, the term generational curse gives us the impression we have no control over our actions. Guess what? You have control. However, generational bondage is very evident in our world today. We would be foolish to overlook its power to hold on to us and our children into bondage. Church, bondage is transferable and must be overcome, but does not give us a get-out-of-jail-free card. As Christ died to set us free, we will all stand before God one day and give an account for our own life. Everybody raise your hand. You see that? That means you're going to give account for your life. I'm going to give an account for my life. Listen, I'm probably going to lose some of you by this next statement, but hang in there with me, okay? I kind of lost myself as I was putting the sermon together. The term generational curse has been used as a means of blame shifting to take the responsibility off of oneself in an effort to remove the guilt from our own lives. Just think about that for a minute. How many times in your life you've been accused of something, or you've fallen and you've done something that you always went back to? I didn't have no control over it. It's just the way I was raised. It's not my fault. I didn't bring myself into the world. My parents raised me like this, right? I've done it most of my life. Ask my wife. Actually, don't ask her. She might give you too much information. Church, in Deuteronomy 5:9, it says this. It says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, listen, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." So as I begin to look up this term, the sins of the father passed on from generation to generation, this is a scripture that come up every single time. And something I want to point out to you is every time I found this scripture or something associating to this scripture, it always had to do with idolatry. Right? Because you're worshiping this God, I'm going to visit the third and fourth generations of your children. So does God curse the children of those who sin? And will I pay the price of the sins of generations before me? So I was sitting in my office and I was reading and I was putting this. I'd actually already had a lot of comments put down for my sermon. And I read that scripture and I thought, I got it. That's it. I knew I was right. And then I come across this scripture and it literally brought me to tears in my office. Deuteronomy 24:16 says this, "Parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin." Church, generational curses, the sins of the father passed on from generation to generation. Listen to me. I have dealt with guilt in my life, and I know that some of you deal with guilt in your life for the things that you've done as a parent that, man, I did these things, and now my children are going to walk in these ways, and my children are going to do the same thing. I've put these curses upon their life. Or maybe you're the child that says, you know what, I don't know why it turned out like this. All I know is my parents were like this, and so it was passed on to me. It's a generational curse. But church, the scripture clearly states that we will pay for our own sins, not the sins of our father. Boy, my dad's lucky, because if he had to pay for the stuff that I've done. Jeremiah 31:29-30. Says this. It says, "In those days, people will no longer say, 'The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge.' Instead, everyone will die for their own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, their own teeth will be set on edge." I didn't even know that was in the Bible till this week. So if it's not generational curses, why do I struggle with the same things that my parents did? Church, here's what as I begin to read and I begin to study, there's no doubt in our world, it's obvious that many of us are a product of our environment. It would be foolish to say that the life of the parent has no effect on the freedom and or the bondage the child experiences throughout his or her life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start your children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." See, this scripture indicates that if you raise your child up in the way they should go when they get old, like me, my parents raised me upright. And now that I'm at this age in my life, I've come back to God, and now I'm standing here and I'm serving God. You can see that this scripture works, that when you raise your child up in the way they should go, listen, it may not be absolute, but there's a really good chance that your child is going to turn out like you. But let me tell you something. I know people that were raised up that way that never chose to walk that line, that never chose to serve God. So what? Is God a liar? No, I think he's telling you here, listen, the odds are so much better if you will raise your children up in the way they should go. Otherwise, they're cursed to do good, right? They don't even have a choice in the matter. The same would be said that if you raise your children up in the way that they shouldn't go, there's a really good chance that they're going to follow those ways. But thank God, it doesn't happen every time, right? They're not cursed to have to follow your way every time that they, but they have a choice to pick up what you've laid down for them. Church, we have to be extremely careful what we lay down for our children. We do have a responsibility as parents to raise up our children in the way they should go. But our children have a responsibility to choose the way that they go. Your actions may have a lasting impact on their life, but God doesn't curse them and make them follow your ways. I'm reading my notes, y'all bear with me. Here's a phrase that I feel like God gave me. I'm going to give to you. It doesn't really fit into this portion of the message, but I feel like it's a little nugget. Church, blame is a means of transportation into bondage. Y'all get that? Blame is a means of transportation into bondage. Truth, however, is a means of transportation into freedom. Listen, we may not get to choose our situation, but you get to choose your destination. So then, who is responsible for your bondage in your life? 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Listen, if you're following the notes, I underline this, "so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we've done while in the body, whether good or bad." Church, we walk in sin, we assume the debts of our fathers and their fathers and the fathers before them, all the way back to Adam. See, if you're going to live under the law, you're going to live under the curse. But the minute you walk in the light and you step outside of that, the Bible says that God took that curse and he nailed that sucker to the tree so that you don't take it back off. Our pastor Jeff has this saying that says, take that note, I'll be up here playing guitar, Kaylee be singing, and he'd say, take that note and you nail that sucker to the wall. Don't tiptoe around it. You just nail it to the wall. If it's right, good. If it's wrong, good. But you nail that thing to the wall. Church, you take those sins and you let Jesus nail it to the cross, and don't you take it back off. So who does the debt belong to? I can tell you who my debt belongs to, and it's myself. Church, to find freedom from this, we must assume ownership for our own shortfalls. Blame shifting is a way of self-justification that will lead us deeper and deeper into bondage. 1 Corinthians, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Church, some of you know my parents. Poor people. Great people, but man, they drew a bad card. But when I was a kid, some of y'all may or may not know this about them, but my parents were into some weird stuff. See, I was forced as a kid to partake in the junk that her and my dad was into. And I said this, I said, I would never, ever make my children do the things that they made me do. You feel sorry for them? I never once made my kids sit down to a table to eat spinach and onions. Huh? Isn't that horrible? When I was a kid, my mama would set me down at the table and she'd slap that nasty slop on my plate. And she'd say, you're going to sit there and you're going to tell you eat that whole thing. I'm like, boy, I'd be gagging. I couldn't even get it close to my mouth, but I was about to puke. But guess what? My parents would bring in, my dad used to work for Swan's Ice Cream. And whenever it come time to do their inventory, all their damaged goods went in this dumpster. God bless my daddy for this, because he would go in there for the sake of his children. He'd jump in that dumpster and he'd come out with stacks of ice cream like this tall. He'd walk out with that stuff and he'd put that ice cream in the back of the trunk and we would go home. We may not have had a bunch of money that back in, but boy, we had a bunch of ice cream. Man, I was so happy to get that ice cream. You know what? My mama didn't have to go. Don't you leave that table till you eat all that. No, my desire caused me to eat every bit of it. Not only did I eat it, but I'd pick the plate up and I'd lick that thing. Huh? I still do it today. Ask my wife. I have it in my beard and she'd be like, John, we're in public. You can't do that. Wipe your face off. Here's the point. See, the Bible says that you're only led away by your desires. See, if generational curses was an absolute, why didn't I grow up slapping spinach on the plate for my daughter to eat it? Because I didn't desire that spinach. I didn't desire that onion. I don't care how much my mama still tries to make me eat that stuff. She cannot make me pick it up. See, that's something that they love. They want that spinach. Now, the ice cream, on the other hand, well, I love me some ice cream. I'll sit down and I'll eat the whole bucket full of it. You know why? Because my desire drags me to that refrigerator. See, church, whenever your parents were sinning, when your parents did things, you know what? You're drug away by your own desire. They can put things down for you to desire and hope that you pick them up. But if you don't desire that, you're not going to pick it up. So we have a choice in this. See, this thing, it's a generational curse. Church, don't pick it up. Leave that stuff laying on the ground. Tell them, I'm not eating that stuff. I don't care what Satan tries to serve you. Your desire is going to dictate whether you pick it up or you lay it down. Church, every time that I've looked up bondage, and it's kind of, this is where that part comes into play that, man, are they going to fire me after today? Because every time I found anything to do with bondage in the Bible, guess what's associated with it? The lust of the flesh or a sinful nature. So it makes me have to look inside and say, well, if I've dealt with this stuff in my life, God, what am I missing? What things are hiding in my life? What things am I allowing into my life that is causing me to walk into this curse? Because see, church, if I walk in sin, if I walk in desires of my flesh, whether that's resentment, whether it's hate, whether it's a lustful desire, whether it's addictions, it doesn't matter. It still causes me to walk outside of the covering of my Lord and my Savior. And now I begin to operate inside a spot where I'm bound by this law that Jesus had nailed to the tree. Be careful what you pick up. I would encourage you, even as we're speaking, as I'm speaking now, to examine your life. Say, God, if there's bondage in my life, is there something that I'm missing? See, because as long as we're looking at somebody else for the source of pain that's happening in our life, we'll never see the stuff that's happening inside our own life. So you may be able to try to fix that person over there and tell your parents how bad they've been and the things that you're going through is because of them, but you'll miss those desires that's in each one of us that's led us astray. I would encourage you to reflect on your own life. James 1:13 through 15 says, "Then tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person..." Why'd they put each? "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death." This morning when I woke up, I thought, well, that works good for like sexual desires, or maybe lying, or maybe the things that are obvious. But John, I deal with depression because of whatever the case may be. Listen, I'm not no doctor, so I'm not trying to be a doctor. I'm not no psychiatrist. I can't even figure out my own head. But here's what I know. Whenever I was younger, there's a music industry that makes billions and billions of dollars off of sad songs. Huh? I see some of you smiling. Some of you are listening to them today. I remember this one specific time in my life where I was sitting in my office and I had this song on. I had it in my earbuds and it was a sad song. And I remember being in there and I remember it feeling so good. I remember having this conversation with myself. Why do I like this so much? Why do I desire to listen to this sad song? Because it's not good, but why do I feel so good by listening to it? Church, because your flesh desires everything that is in opposition of what God wants for you. And so the more I begin to see, actually I didn't even see it in myself, I begin to listen to these songs. I've always been kind of an upbeat guy. I always liked to laugh and joke around. And people that were close to me began to notice that I wasn't joking and smiling so much anymore. And they're like, this one particular person says, "Man, John, what's been up with you lately?" And I remembered, God brought it back to my remembrance. I remember sitting in my office chair, watching my computer, listening to that one song. See, my desire started taking me down a path, I didn't even realize it, of depression. See, my desire wanted that sadness in my life. It doesn't make sense, but I even looked it up this morning, and there's medical documents that's written that back this up. Church, I don't know what you're feeding yourself, but if we're not feeding ourselves life, we're going to seek out death. I'm going to have to change sermon topics so I can get people excited up in here. Church, Galatians 3:13 says this: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." I'm going to say it again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." Church, you want to walk in freedom? You better start walking in the truth. Here's the truth. Christ has set you free. See, the enemy wants you to believe that the things that you've been fed, you got to pick them up. But the truth is, whenever Jesus took that upon himself and he willingly hung himself on that cross, his intentions wasn't for you to pick it back up. See, the Bible says that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says that all things, all the old things, they're passed away. All the new things, or everything else, has become new. See, I'm no longer bound to the sin and the law of sin and death that I was bound to whenever I was walking in that lifestyle. But now that Christ has redeemed me, all things have passed away and all things have become new. It's all right, y'all. Church, listen, you do not have to accept it. Just because the enemy is offering it doesn't mean you have to inherit it. Choose for yourself whom you're going to serve. Am I going to serve this bondage in my life? Or am I going to make Satan out to be a liar and make God out to be true and I'm going to follow Christ? Listen, we must know who we are. We're not servants, but we're sons and daughters of the King. Jesus has set you free, therefore, I don't know if Keith changed this in the notes, but I put it in there intentionally because I'm a little bit hillbilly. He might have flipped it around, but Jesus has set you free, therefore, free you be. Everybody say, free I be. That sounds like an old rap song or something. Free I be. Church, quit hanging on to the past and walk in the freedom Christ has for you. Again, take captive every thought and every imagination and make it obedient to Christ. Church, you must renew your mind with the Word of God and let it transform the fruits you produce. Matthew 12:35 says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat the fruit. Scripture before that says, From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. But listen to this, with the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. Church, what are you allowing to come out of your mouth? See, the things that I say and the things that I allow to come out of my mouth, I'm going to line up with that. See, if it doesn't indicate what's in my heart will change to line up with what's coming out of my mouth. But Scripture says the fruit of your mouth is what's stored up in your heart. So what's that mean? How do we get out of this stuff that we're living in then? How do I get out of the bondage? And how do I begin to walk in the light? And how do I begin to experience this freedom that you're talking about? Church, we better start reading this Word of God and we better start putting that light in our life. And when we do that, our mouth is going to reflect that. And when our mouth reflects it, your spirit is going to line up with that. See, your spirit man desires this, but your flesh hates it. Do not be controlled by your flesh, but be controlled by the Spirit and allow your spirit to be controlled by this Word and by the Spirit of God. It'll change your life. Church, who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, the Bible says that bad company will corrupt good character. I seen a daughter get her, see, told you. Told you on the way to church today. Now the pastor said it. It's got to be God. Get her. Church, be careful who you surround yourself with. I'm not telling you to fear people that are living in sin. I want you to minister to those people. But be careful who you let feed into your life. You feed into them, but be careful who you let feed into your own life. John 8:35-36 says this, if the band would come back up. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Church, we have to know who we are in Christ. We're not servants, but we're sons and daughters of the King forever. Quit hanging out in the past and walk into freedom Christ has for you. Again, I say take captive every thought and imagination and make it obedient to Christ. Let your speech feed life and freedom into your life and the lives of those around you. Church, you're no longer slaves, but a child of the King. You guys stand with me, would you?